Tonight we're going to be looking at this chapter, chapter 30. I've entitled the message, Encouraging Truths for Discouraging Times. Encouraging Truths for Discouraging Times. I would have to say that the days we're living in today would be certainly described in several words. I would say these days are unsettling days. They are tumultuous days. They're very difficult days. They're very dangerous days. And they're very uncertain days. Every day I go in and have a morning coffee and I read the newspaper and the TV headlines, you'll see them filled with all these things about the crisis that is taking place in the United States and the looming crisis, the financial crisis, which is looming for our Canadian economy. People have watched their savings invested in the stock market lose their value by over 30% just in a matter of days. People in the States, you'll see them by the hundreds, if not thousands, have lost their homes. People have watched their paychecks. They don't go as far as they used to. The price of general commodities, if you look at the price of fuel, the price of food and clothes, the price of transportation, is all on the rise. There are wars in many parts of the world today. There is uncertainty with the upcoming elections. You'll see the elections down in the States. Even the election we have here, there's a lot of uncertainty around us going on. There's also the uncertainty of people with their jobs. That's a real thing that affects us all. There's uncertainty with people to see if they have a place to go to work the next day. The list could go on and on and on. You could describe these days for some as discouraging days. There's no hope. What will the future hold for you, and what will the future hold for me? Well, this is exactly where we find ourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We find ourselves in a situation with one of God's choicest men, David. David finds himself in the same similar situation. Brief history which leads us up to the events of this chapter 30. You can remember David who came upon the scene here in 1 Samuel chapter 16. He came upon the scene as just a tender shepherd boy watching sheep in the fields. David is eventually put into the palace to serve under King Saul. David behaves himself very wisely, if you read that in chapter 18, and that's a very difficult thing for David to do in the circumstances he finds himself in. And we see in chapter 18 of verse 28, for we won't take time to look that up, we can see right at that instance that the Lord was with David. Now, you know, Saul, the king of Israel, begins his downward spiral. He has been rejected for being king. Why? Because of the sin of disobedience. We see in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, the Lord said, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Saul, in his jealous rage, seeks to destroy David. David had to learn the lesson of patience. He had many opportunities to take Saul's life. He had just reason to do so, but David waited upon the Lord. A lesson in patience in anxious times. By nature, we want things now. We want things right away. Wait patiently on the Lord. Seek His will and rely on the Lord for His perfect timing. Now David, who is totally disheartened, flees for his life from Saul to Ziklag. In chapter 27 and verse 1, just turn back a few chapters there, chapter 27 and verse 1. This is what David feels at this time. He's ready to gasp, and this is what he says there in verse 1. David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." What do we find here? David took his eye off faith of the Lord, and what did he do? David looked inwardly. The danger of looking for strength in ourselves. You think of Peter when he was walking on the water, took his eyes off the Lord, looked down, looked for strength in himself, and down he went. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now in chapter 29, verses 8 to 11, David now, he's totally disheartened. He finds himself in a very difficult situation because he's have to go with battle against his own people. Here he is now in exile in the land of Philistines. He's got this city that is given to him by Achish, king of Gath, and this city is called Ziklag. But we have to be thankful that the Lord sees the end from the beginning. The Lord delivered David from joining this battle. And this is the very battle where Saul would have been killed. What a wonderful thing to know and feel the sovereign hand of God moving in your life. Always be humble and tender to hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord delivered David out of this situation. And you have to think of that verse. It says, "The Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good." One thing to note, David did not ask the Lord for direction in chapter 27 before going down to Ziklag. The Lord would have to teach David a very severe lesson, and this is the lesson we're going to be looking at tonight. Without me, ye can do nothing. David returns to his town of Ziklag. It's a 3 days' journey from where he was going to battle. Now, David is totally exhausted. He returns home. There was no welcome to meet him there. There was no cooked meal. There was no cheers of a returning army. There were no hugs from his family. He looks and finds the city up in smoke, totally consumed. He realizes all the women and children have been taken. They all began to weep, it says, till they had no more power to weep anymore. But the situation got even worse in verse number 6. His own people spake of stoning him. We have to say that David was at the very rock bottom of his life. David was now an exile from his own country, from his own land. David was now rejected by the people of the land of Philistines. David was rejected by his own soldiers. David's last remaining allies of encouragement was his own family, and they were gone. Put yourself into the heart of David at this moment. He must have felt like Jacob just saying, all these things are against me. There can't be anything more. Every single thing is against me. He must have said, these are the worst of the worst days. But what did David do? How did David cope with this great trial? It says there in verse number 6, if you turn there to the end of verse number 6, this is what David did. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Every last prop in David's life was gone, but the faithful Lord stood right beside him. It says in the Psalms, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David had slipped. He got himself into a difficult, compromising situation by going down to Ziklag without consulting the Lord. But the Lord did not leave him. He has that promise in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Last week, I had to go buy some groceries. The odd time I do that for my wife, I go out and buy some groceries and help her out. This time I had to pick up a roast for Sunday. So while I was there, I'm the type of person, I don't look for specials, I don't tear off coupons, I just go around the store and pick up a few things. And this time there, I picked up a roast and picked up some potatoes and a few other things, and I just saw these packages of these snow peas. And I said, well, they look interesting, I think I'm going to try these tonight. So I picked up these pack of snow peas. Now, any of you have seen a snow pea, they're quite interesting looking, they're very flat, and you can actually see all the peas inside them. Well, tonight, I'm going to leave you with some peas. You hear that phrase that's called as peas in a pod? Well, that's a very common phrase. Well, I'm going to leave you with 8 peas in a pod of encouragement for you to hang your thoughts on. Perhaps you're going through a time of discouragement. You have to remember that Ziklag is the experience of all believers. Remember, what should we do? These are the 8 peas in a pod, which I'm going to share with you tonight. The first thing to do is what should we do in this time of difficulty? It says, you encourage yourself in God's, the first P is God's precepts. God's precepts are God's word. The word of God, as I said, is more precious than gold. The truths of God's word can be that balm to a weary soul, to a downcast soul. Feed upon his word. There is no earthly book, there is no earthly manual, there is no earthly magazine that can bring any comfort to a discouraged soul. Feed upon the precepts of God's word. Encourage yourself in the precepts of God's word. The second thing to encourage yourself in is God's promises. The promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. The promise that the Lord is your shepherd. The promise that you shall not want or not lack any good thing. The promise that the Lord will perfect that which concerneth you. The third thing to consider is to encourage yourself in God's pathway. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, we know it so well. Had David applied this verse, he wouldn't have found himself down there in the first place. Lean not unto your own understanding. He said there, that pronoun, I, me, I shall perish one day. There's no reference to inquiring about the Lord. You acknowledge him, and the Lord will direct your paths, it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The third thing we'd have to look at is God's, sorry, the third thing we have to look at is to be encourage yourself with the assembly of God's people. Have to ask yourself the question, are you an encourager? Do you encourage and help people when they are down and when they are in need? David's men wanted to stone him. How often we stone those people around us with our words or with our lack of words or with our lack of help in a certain situation. Let us always have tender words of encouragement to those in need, to the sick ones, to the downcast, to the lost especially. So we have the P of God's pathway, and then the P of encourage yourself with God's people. And then another very important one, encourage yourself within God's place. Going to the house of God, assembling like we are tonight in the house of prayer, feeding upon his word, there's no better way to encourage yourself than to come in to God's place. Encourage yourself by singing God's praise. I was telling someone who just joined the choir recently, I'm not a very good singer. I have a very hard time reading the notes. Mr. Saunders has to tolerate me beside him in the choir, and if he wasn't being able to sing the right note, I have no chance of getting the part. But anyway, but you know what the blessing of the choir is? The blessing of the choir for me is a twofold blessing. First of all, it brings glory to God. And second of all, it brings a blessing to your own soul. When you sing those praises over and over, and you repeat them over and over in your mind, it is a blessing to your soul. The next thing we have to encourage ourselves with is God's presence. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, the omnipresent God, the omnipotent God. David realizes that God did not leave his side. David knew that the Lord knew all about his need and that he is a very present help in trouble. Encourage yourself finally by coming to the Lord, the last P, coming to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, it says, and he shall sustain thee. David begins the road back in verse number 8. What does he do in verse number 8? And David inquired at the Lord. That is the beginning. I just would happen to reread this little message here from Spurgeon. I'd like to share it with you here. This is a message about David inquiring with the Lord. This is later on in David's life, and this is what he had to recount about David, the importance of David inquiring of the Lord. When David made this inquiry, he had just fought the Philistines. This doesn't have representation of what we're talking about now, but you'll understand what I'm talking about in the middle of this. He had gained a signal victory. The Philistines came up in great hosts, but by the help of God, David had easily put them to flight. Note, however, that when they came up the second time, David did not go up and fight them without inquiring of the Lord. Once he had been victorious, and he might have said, as many as have in other cases, you know what, I shall be victorious again. I may rest quite sure that if I have conquered once, I shall triumph yet again. Wherefore should I tarry to seek at the Lord's hands? Not so, David. He had gained one battle by the strength of the Lord. He would not venture upon another until he had ensured the same. He inquired, shall I go up against them? And that is exactly what it says in this chapter. Shall I go up against them? He waited until God's sign was given. Learn from David to take no step without God. If thou wouldst know the path of duty, take God for thy compass. If thou wouldst steer thy ship through dark billows, put the tiller into the hand of the Almighty. Many a rock might be escaped if we would let our Father take the helm. Many a shoal or quicksand we might well avoid if we would leave it to His sovereign will to choose and to command. The Puritan said, I love this part, he says, as sure as ever a Christian carves for himself, he'll surely cut his own fingers. This is a great truth, said another old divine. He that goes before the cloud of God's providence goes on a fool's errand. And so he does. We must mark God's providence leading us. And if providence tarries, tarry till providence comes. He who goes before providence will be very glad to run back again. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. What a blessing to inquire at the Lord's hand. The importance of prayer. David, a man after God's own heart, dwelling in Ziklag, he lost out with God. Are we dwelling in a Ziklag ourselves? Are we burdened down by the cares of the day? Are we burdened down with all this news of all this discouragement round about us? Are we burdened down by not reading our Bibles quite as we should? Remember, Ziklag is the experience of all believers. Here's a man after God's own heart, David, not reading or studying God's Word as we should. Maybe our prayer life is lagging somewhat. Perhaps there's other things that have encroached in upon us to take us away. Maybe we have too much work. We're too tired for the things of God. These are Ziklags which take us away from God. But David, a child of the king, lost out, and the Lord was teaching him that lesson, like I said, without me, ye can do nothing. Let us all with renewed vigor encourage ourselves in God and Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, the great encourager, who turns that storm into a calm, who says, peace, be still. If you turn up to one of my favorite psalms, Psalm number 34, this is the testimony of David here. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Then it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And then in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. And then in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. This was David's own experience. This can be your experience. This can be my experience too. Chapter 30 of verse 1 begins with discouragement and disaster, but chapter 30 ends with blessing. David seeks the Lord's face for direction. He says, "Shall I pursue?" The Lord graciously answered, "Go." David is now back on the path of total faith and trust. David recovered all. Everything was lost in verse 1. And in verse 18, everything had been found. Encourage yourself in the Lord God. You too can recover all. If you have lost communion with the Lord will restore unto you the years which the locusts have eaten. God is a God of mercy. He's ready to forgive. David would never forget what happened to him at Ziklag. David got off the rails, but the Lord in his mercy graciously put him back on. David would never forget the experience which happened to him at Ziklag. When I was a young boy, I got for Christmas a little train set. It's one of those small trains that the tracks are about that wide. It's called HO Scale, and it's one of those train sets. Now, I know some adults still have train sets, but I got this train set, and I just thought it was the most greatest thing in the world. Now, the wheels in these train sets are very, very small, and they're very, very delicate, and you clip the cars together. It is really probably made for people who maybe are 14 or 15 and older, but I got this when I was about 7 or 8. And I got the train to set up, and I got the transformer, and I connected all the tracks together, and I made this little track go round and round, and I had little switches to make the trains divert. But after a while, I got the train going faster and faster, and I put the gas pedal down on the transformer, and the train was going around, and we turned out the lights in the room, and the little light from the front of the train would be shining around, and we thought it was just great that we'd stand over top of it, and the train would go under our legs, and we thought this is the greatest thing. And all of a sudden, a mighty crash happened, so we shut the transformer down, and we tried to put that train back on the tracks. And we got it, you know, thought it was all on, and we put the transformer in. It would go a little bit and stop, and then go a little bit and stop. It was never quite right. There was much sorrow in the room. There wasn't great happiness. But then my dad would come along, and his very gracious, gentle hand, he looked down, and he put the train just absolutely perfectly back on the rails, and we put the transformer going, and away the train would go again. And I just thought, that's just like the Lord. How many times we're going round and round and then something happens and we fumble and try and stumble to try to get that train going again and nothing happens. But God is gracious. He comes and picks us up, gently puts us back on the rails, and away we go again. Not only was I happy, but my father was happy seeing that I was happy. And you just think in parallel too, our Heavenly Father, He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be pleased. And He is pleased as well when things are going. These things were written for our learning. Stick close to the Savior's side. Encourage yourselves tonight in God's precepts. Encourage yourself with God's promises. Encourage yourself in God's pathway. Encourage yourself with God's people. In God's place, singing God's praises, enjoying God's presence, and communing with God in prayer. What a fellowship! What a joy divine, as we sung, leaning on the everlasting arms. Stick close to the Lord, inquire of Him daily, encourage yourself in the Lord daily.